Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans-Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Jalen Ramsey, you remember him around here, used to be in the division. He got paid.
Come on now.
That guy, 5 years, $105 million, 71.2 milli. This the day after DeAndre Hopkins became the highest paid non-quarterback of all time. Former stars in the AFC South getting paid, now in the NFC West. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
People getting paid this week, man. Jadeveon. Obviously, Deshaun, Buda Baker. This is a big one to me. Obviously, it is for the Rams as well. But this is a guy that just been trying to find, you know, that home and that big paycheck, and he got it, man. $71.5 million guaranteed is incredible.
It's interesting. Him and Hop, they used to do battle twice a year in the AFC South. Now they're going to be doing
healthy respect for each other, though.
Twice a year in the NFC West. It's always been a fun matchup to watch. People out West going to get to watch it twice a year. Very, very jealous of that because nothing more fun than that matchup inside inside the trenches. Angelo Blackson, signed by the Arizona Cardinals. He is going to be on their 53-man roster. So the guy who played 40% of the snaps for the Texans the last couple years was a big part of special teams, blocked some kicks, blocked the punt last year against the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason. He's going to be a part of the 53-man roster with the Arizona Cardinals. And Jordan Thomas, former tight end of the Houston Texans, he's going to be on their practice squad and one of the guys that they protect so that he can't sneak away. So they thought highly enough of Jordan Thomas to where they decided that they were going to pay him and keep him on their practice squad and protect him. Be interesting to see what Kliff Kingsbury does with him.
I mean, we were surprised that – somewhat surprised, I shouldn't say completely, that the Texans didn't keep him. He's got a place, at least a promise in the NFL, if he can just kind of take that next step or find the right situation. And who knows? I mean, the thing about Kliff Kingsbury's offense in the NFL is the big adjustment is – you need tight ends in the NFL. You have to have tight ends in the NFL, but they have to be much more versatile. And I hate to use that word, but they do have to be much more versatile. And he might find a good fit there.
Von Miller yesterday, a sad course of events for the Denver Broncos. Von Miller injured yesterday. Here was Ian Rapoport with the initial report.
I see where DeAndre Hopkins got his.
I see. Denver Broncos and their star pass rusher Von Miller, he left practice early today after suffering a lower leg injury, not an Achilles, but right near the Achilles. But our understanding is this is potentially season ending, losing Von Miller for the season before the season even starts, but certainly a very difficult and troubling situation for this Denver defense.
The Broncos they're one of those trending teams, man. I mean, they were, and I know high hopes for Drew Locke, high hopes for some of their prospects this year. And I'm not going to say it got thrown out the window, but, man, that's about as big a hit as you can get outside of quarterback.
They added Melvin Gordon on offense. They also added Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama. So they were trying to fix that offense a little bit. Noah Fant, the tight end, trying to take that step. Bradley Chubb coming back from the torn ACL. Von Miller coming back from a disappointing season. Relative to his expectations.
What'd you say?
Relative to, shout out to B.O.B. They're going to be starting the season on Monday night in Denver against the Tennessee Titans. Von Miller not going to play. Looks like Jadeveon Clowney might play because he was on the practice field today for the Tennessee Titans, rocking number 99. That is going to be the number. It will not be number 90. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be rocking 99 for the Tennessee Titans on the practice field. I'm assuming there's probably going to be somewhat of a pitch count or a snap count, I should say. But Clowney expected to play. You'll actually hear that right here, courtesy of Westwood One on Sports Radio 610.
Shout out to JJ, or just a coincidence?
That is weird.
Jadeveon playing with number 99.
I think that Javon Curse wore 90, so it probably just didn't make sense for him to wear 90. So he's going with 99.
I think he's a little tip of the cap. He and JJ got along pretty well, that by all accounts anyway. Vic Beasley practiced as well. That Titans defense is no joke, man.
Yeah, I don't know how motivated Vic Beasley is, but if him and Clowney are both ready to go, look out for that Titans defense. They still don't know who's going to call the defense. Dean Pease no longer with the Titans. He's been there the last couple of years, one of the better defensive coordinators that there is. Mike Vrabel could be calling it. He could be letting his assistants call it. Stay tuned there. That's the main storyline coming out of Tennessee heading into the start of the season. O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson.
Hello, Twitter world.
My gosh.
Hey, Twitter world.
He loves him some football, and for some reason, one of my guilty pleasures, I know he sliced up two people. I know he's a double murderer. I get it. But
you're not alone.
There was once upon a time.
This is what they call morbid curiosity.
There was a time when O.J. was one of the best analysts in the game.
He was the guy.
And I think he's still got it. I don't think he's lost his fastball.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to this, this is O.J. Simpson weighing in on DeAndre Hopkins getting paid.
I see where DeAndre Hopkins got his. Go ahead, brother. $54 million for 2 years, man. Hey, I always believe that you are and you're worth what you get. And you went and got yours. You know, he was on my fantasy team 2 years ago. I love the guy. He reminds me of Kawhi Leonard. You know, they got the same demeanor. They both got those big old hands. And when it comes to 50-50 balls, they seem to be the ones that come up with them, basketball or football. That being said, let me make this clear. There is no way. No way that these top wide receivers, they're worth what they can get. I'm happy for them.
But
are worth $5 to $12 million more than the top running backs. There is no way that these top running backs who are catching 80 to 100 passes, rushing for 13-plus 100 yards, have to block these big old linebackers when they're blitzing. There's no way they should be that underpaid to the top wide receiver. I'm just saying. Take care. Stay safe.
Well, you can't. OJ, all due respect, and don't slice
me up.
Be careful.
Be careful.
I said don't slice me up.
Well, that didn't work. It doesn't always work.
But you just said you're worth what they pay you.
But there was a but.
And then he said he was surprised at the running back, that they get paid more than the running backs. Well, the running backs are worth what they're getting paid. And the reason they are is because they don't last quite as long. Wide receivers do.
We've talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs rookie running back. OJ doesn't know how to say his name right, but he does have a take on the man that's going to be making his debut against the Houston Texans tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610.
There was a guy, Heathcliff, from Kansas City. Oh, did I want to get him. That little scat back, that boy got all kind of okey-doke. And with that team, he's going to have plenty of inside lanes to run in.
See? OJ thinks it too.
He thinks it too.
OJ's a fan of Heathcliff. What do you call him? Heathcliff?
There was a guy, Heathcliff.
Okay.
Heathcliff.
Heathcliff.
Clyde Edwards Heathcliff. Well, we got to start calling
him
that.
Let's just call him Heathcliff.
Yeah, we got to start calling him
Heathcliff. There was a guy, Heathcliff.
Yeah, Heathcliff. That's what we'll go with. Here's OJ setting the scene for tomorrow. Everybody's excited about football, even double murderers that play golf all the time.
Hey, Twitter world. it's me, yours truly, and it's football week in America, and I couldn't be happier. And look what game we get to start with. Kansas City and Houston. Who could forget that comeback that Kansas City mounted last year at the end of the season? And look at the two quarterbacks, two young guys in their mid-20s, and soon between them will be making $90 million a season. $90 million a season. I was born 50 years too early. Even though as a running back, they still would have disrespected me. In any event, football is back. Good luck to you. Stay safe.
He is very, very down on the way running backs are used and the way that running backs are paid. And quite honestly, I agree with him.
There's no way I would get in a fantasy football league with O.J. Simpson.
Oh, I would.
Absolutely not.
I absolutely
no
would.
No way, no how. Because you're going to get in an argument. It's impossible to be in a fantasy.
But he's going to be into it.
Yes, and then into you with a filete, man, with a knife.
I bet he's a good sport.
Till you piss him off.
Everybody fights, argues at least.
I bet he's a good sport.
But think about it. Like let's say he tries to, I don't know, there's some trade that is unfair and or whatever.
Well, happened. I'm a good commish, so that wouldn't happen.
Okay, just there will be, even in your, you know, fine running league, there are disputes. People argue, maybe even just at the draft. There will be raised voices. How'd you like to get into a heated argument in fantasy football with OJ?
Be fine.
You will not be fine. There's evidence that you will not be fine.
That was like 20 years ago.
And then there was the Las Vegas hotel room where he...
Yeah, but that was with his buddies.
Yeah. And he was like beating up some dude. Went to prison for that.
I wish OJ was in my league. I really do. How much do you think they play for?
I was thinking that too, as
because
well.
Because he is really into this and he's at a country club in Las Vegas.
It's a golf
he's got
thing.
A bunch of buddies. Like, how much do you think they play for? A couple thousand?
I was going to say
over 10K.
10K?
Over 10K.
As the, not per team. I was thinking $1,000 entry. $1,000 a team entry. So let's say you have 10 teams. That's 10K.
Man, I can't wait.
Maybe more.
I can't believe
it. Hell, it might be more now that I think about it.
Fantasy football's upon us.
I mean, because you know those country clubs. It's a Bel Air. Isn't he in Bel Air? He's in L.A.?
He ain't allowed in L.A. He's in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. My bad. He's in Vegas. Still, high rollers. I bet you you're right, Figgy. It's closer to 10K per entry. Gotta be.
Man, I would like OJ in my fantasy league. But let's help out the kids in the community. This seems like a perfect transition from OJ Simpson killing people to helping out the kids in the Houston community. Sometimes it just works out that way. 61% of low-income families have no books in their homes, which means that 60% of kids that go into kindergarten, they're already behind when it comes to reading and being ready to go and being ready to learn at the highest possible level. That's why we want to help out this week. We want to help out with our friends at the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign. A $30 donation can get a kid six books of their choice.
Their favorites.
It will get them excited to read. It'll get them on the right path, and it'll eliminate them from being yet another statistic heading into school, J-Lo.
The first family of Houston started this. That would be Barbara Bush and George H.W. It's the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation My Home Library campaign. HTX Reads. Text HTX Reads to 41444. And 30 bucks or more. We've had a listener donate 1,000. Maybe you can top that. HTX Reads to 41444.
Coming up next, Snoop Dogg, Bradley Roby, and Tyreek Hill.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Bradley Roby versus Tyreek Hill, one of the big matchups. Tomorrow, Bradley Roby sat down a couple years ago for one of my favorite interviews of all time. I don't think you get much depth like this. There's a lot of X's and O's stuff, but when it comes to just getting a grasp of the cornerback position and what it's all about, no interview can hold a candle to Bradley Roby when he sat down with Snoop Dogg.
What's the first thing you do or think of when you wake up?
I use a bathroom.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Tacos or burgers?
Burgers.
Ass or
ass.
What's your favorite pair of shoes of all time?
J's.
Favorite cartoon of all time?
I used to like SpongeBob when I watched cartoons.
It's a square. You can tell this, yeah. He said SpongeBob. That just came out 12 years ago. SpongeBob only 17 years old. What's your favorite cereal of all time?
I used to like the Rice Krispie Treats with the...
When they make noise when you pour the milk in?
Yeah, but nah, the ones that, the purple
ones.
Oh,
that's Snap, Crackle, and Pop, huh?
The purple ones, though, that they came together.
The like, Rice Krispie Treats? What?
Yeah, I'm just A1. If you don't know, you need to find out.
Let's get to know Bradley Roby a little bit with Snoop Dogg. Might have been a little something being passed
around.
Yeah,
you think?
There, it seemed like.
You think?
Seemed like, I mean, I wanted some Rice Krispie Treats after that. I ain't mad at you, Bradley Roby. Damn sure not going to be mad at you if you hold down Tyreek Hill like you have for the majority of your career. I mean, Tyreek Hill, one of the most explosive players in the NFL. Bradley Roby's done a very, very good job on him, including last year in the playoff game. Tyreek Hill, I think, had 40 yards total in that game, and Bradley Roby did a very good job on him. He's going to have that same task tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610. Here is Bradley Roby, his final words. We heard JJ's final words early on. Here are Bradley Roby's final words before the Texans take on the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah, definitely played those guys a lot, you know, playing in Denver. I probably played them, I don't know, 10, 12 times. So I'm very familiar with the guys, with Andy Reid and Mahomes. And, you know, we all know all the receivers they have, fast guys, route runners, some route runners. So it's going to be a test for sure, especially week one. It's going to be a great test, and we're looking forward to it. I think everyone knows what they bring to the table, so no need for me to speak on it, you know. So just go out there and play.
Aaron Wilson.
Hey, Bradley. The aspect of playing them again, and, you know, this was the last game that you played in the same stadium. Do you think it's going to be an emotional night, and just also just to play a football game at all after – such a rocky off season for everyone in the country. What do you think it's going to feel like?
It's going to be unique for sure. Just given the circumstances, like you said, of the off season, I think it'll be emotional for them. You know, they're going to celebrate the Super Bowl, I'm sure, pregame or something like that. And, you know, just the history of how the game ended last year, you know, it's two different teams. From this year and last year, it's a whole new year. But, you know, there's definitely going to be some emotions for sure on both sides, you know, headed to the game. So I feel like this is the best matchup you could do to start the season.
Brian Berryfield.
Bradley, can you talk about how your off-season training and workouts has brought you to this point to be prepared for the Kansas City Chiefs, especially when you're going up against a team that has so much team speed?
I think offseason, you know, this offseason was very tough, you know, for everyone. I think you're seeing that now with a lot of guys, you know, getting hurt in training camps and a lot of soft tissue injuries and things like that. So I think it was just a tough offseason to kind of gauge, you know, where you're at conditioning-wise or anything. If you're overworking, you're underworking. I think everyone had to deal with that. So, you know, me personally, I just tried to keep running, keep my conditioning up, keep my strength up. And not trying to overdo it, but not trying to not work enough. So I think it's just that balance, you know, and I think it'll show, you know, in the first couple of weeks, you know, the guys that kind of did it right.
Aaron Reese.
Hey, Bradley, kind of along those lines, just with the way the offseason was set up, what challenge do you think guys will face when it comes to tackling? Just since you didn't have preseason games, you obviously haven't been tackling in practice. Will that require somewhat of an adjustment period?
Definitely. I think, you know, naturally there's no preseason games. You know, a lot of teams, you know, probably have been cautious to try to tackle their own players in camp around the league. So I think that, you know, these first couple of games, it's going to be weird. You know, it's going to be preseason-like, but, you know, real stats. You know, everything's going to count, but it's going to look a little bit sloppy, you know, on both sides of the ball for everyone. I just think so, just because – we haven't played against anyone else but our teammates, you know. So I think early on, those first three games, you know, is going to be a little bit sloppy, and then everyone to kind of get in their groove as the season goes on.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I'm wondering, as the first team to travel, how do you feel about that? Just being one of the first guys that actually have to go on the road and follow all the new protocols and stuff.
To me, it's no big deal. You know, we have to do what we got to do at the end of the day. We haven't discussed, you know, in full detail everything that's going to be different this year than last year. I think we're going to go over that today. But I don't think that much of it. You know, we're going to get ready. You know, thankfully, we're going to play with some people in the stands. I think that's going to be a little bit better than kind of having that first game and just having no one out there. I think it'll kind of let us transition into, you know, having no fans or at other places. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's a new experience, you know. We have to adapt, so I'm looking forward to it.
We'll take three more. Brandon.
Hey, Bradley, is there a moment in a game where you kind of realize that you're back to playing real life football? Is like, is it that first hit, the first time you get blocked? Like, describe that for me.
Yeah, definitely. That first hit is definitely going to wake you up if you're not ready. So, those first couple plays when you're out there, just running around. And I think that's that first hit. When you get that first hit, you get them on the ground, get up, I think that's when it's like, okay, like we out here, we playing, it's for real, full speed, So I think naturally for everyone, when you get hit in the mouth, it's when you wake up.
Wex.
Hey, Bradley, your D-line coach is now the defensive coordinator and play caller this year. How do you feel about what they're trying to do up front, maybe different things they're trying to do, and how that obviously affects you guys, taking chances, knowing what's coming and trying to get turnovers?
I'm looking forward to it. I really like Weave a lot, Coach Weaver. I like his energy. I like his attitude. I think as a defense, we're going to adapt to his attitude and just the way, the fire that he has. And, I look forward to us playing with that fire. And, we definitely have some things that are different than last year when it comes to the D-line, things like that. So, like we said, it's a new year. So we got to go out there and compete and see what it looks like.
It's a new year. It's a new role for Bradley Roby. He was your number one corner last year, but this is the first time he is expected to be that number one guy. They paid him in the offseason. He's expected to be that number one guy. Charles Omenihu starting for the Texans, and then you're going to get a taste of Bradley Roby as the number one cornerback. I'll say this. Mm-hmm. Bradley Roby, he's been very, very, very durable. He's been available for the majority of his career. He did miss a month last year. I'm knocking on wood. They can't afford to have Bradley Roby out for a month this year. They can't afford to have Bradley Roby hurt this
year. And I don't want to be naive here either because Bradley Roby has never been like the shutdown cornerback for any team. But he's very good. I mean, he's
a good player.
He can be very good. What I think a lot of people are being naive about because we're talking about, well, they'll give safety help to him and boom, problem solved as far as Tyreek Hill. That's Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy on the other sideline. They're going to look for ways to manipulate their motions, their picks, whatever you want to call them, their route running, crossing route, in order to make sure Roby is one-on-one with Tyreek Hill. So here's the thing, he's going to have to stop Tyreek Hill by himself at some point. The Chiefs are going to make sure. So he's going to have to live up to that contract.
And I also think Hardeman's a very dangerous guy as well that can take the top off of defense. So if you're paying attention to Tyreek, you're paying attention to Kelsey, that you got Clyde Edwards-Helaire and you got Hardeman. I think Hardeman is going to be a guy. He could be one of the breakout players in the NFL this year. So keep an eye out on him. They got a lot of speed. It's going to be fun to watch. Cannot wait. It happens tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610, world's biggest pregame show continuing. Public enemy number one in H-Town, guy who used to sit in this very room, is going to join the show next. Nick Wright, you'll hear from him. We're also going to talk about one of the biggest uncertainties heading into tomorrow's game. In the Loop continues next.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the kickoff countdown. We're less than 30 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
Thing to keep an eye on between now and kickoff is whether or not Brandon Cooks is going to be on the field for the Houston Texans. This was one of the big additions of the offseason. We know he's a Jack Easterby guy. They got a relationship going back to New England. The quad has not been acting right. He did not practice yesterday. Bill O'Brien doesn't like when guys don't practice.
Well,
maybe they're being cautious. Maybe things are changing. But Brandon Cooks is one of those guys that could eat against the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a guy who could make some significant plays for the Texans against the Chiefs. I witnessed it firsthand. I think it was the only time he did 11-on-11 this year on the practice field. He was the best receiver on the field. He might have been the best player on the field in that practice. And now there's speculation. There's reasonable doubt that he might not even be on the field tomorrow when the Texans take on the Chiefs right here on Sports Radio 610.
And I thought of this just a few moments ago. I've been saying all along, in fact, I told you off air, I don't think Brandon Cooks is going to play. About a half hour ago, I said that to you, and I've expressed our doubts here on air because Tuesday's practice, is what would normally be a Friday practice on a game week. You don't practice Thursday, Friday, you don't play. It's an old ism, if you will, in the NFL, and it's certainly something that Bill O'Brien has adhered to for years, as long as he's been here. If you don't play practice in those games, you generally don't play. But then I started thinking about this. They've been game planning for Kansas City for a month.
Months.
You know, yeah, more than a month. So it's not like your average work week. I mean, you know, he's already gotten reps. He's already been to the meetings. He's already faced, you know, the so-called chief scout, you know, defense or whatever. So maybe there is a chance that he'll play on Thursday night, just because it's not like, okay, you played last week, you didn't practice Thursday, you ain't going to play because you didn't have the time to get the reps against what we're going to be looking at. So maybe there is a chance, because they've only had one team they've been preparing for the last month plus, and that's the Chiefs. So if he can get well enough to play, then maybe he will.
I will say this about Brandon Cooks too, just from witnessing it up close. Even when he's not, you know, involved, and when he's sitting out, he's involved in practice.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at what everyone else is doing. He's trying to help. He's trying to guide them. So he's one of those guys that if he's not quote involved in practice, he's still involved,
yeah,
because he takes a lot of pride in the mental part of the game. So we'll see.
Mental reps.
I think it is a good point that it is a different week, and they've been getting ready for Kansas City all this time. So maybe it is a little different. Maybe they are just resting him, getting him ready. I'll just tell you this. When I saw him, he damn sure looked ready to go to me.
Yeah.
Enough for me to put him on my damn fantasy team.
Okay, to take the other side real quick, because I'm like, okay, well, maybe he'll play, because this is the only thing they've been scouting for more than a month. If he doesn't play, that quad is not a minor thing. I mean, it's much more serious. You know, if they're just resting him because he's already done all the reps and he knows what's coming, that's one thing. But if he doesn't play, that means that quad was a lot worse than anyone thought.
Be interesting. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll get you ready tomorrow, game day, and then we're going to have, of course, Football Friday on Friday / kind of a reaction Friday. It's going to be a fun time, fun next 48 hours. Did not think we'd make it this far, but I'll be damned, we did. Public enemy number one here in H-Town. He is a Chiefs fan, and he is a LeBron stan. We know the Rockets are facing LeBron James. We know the Texans face the Chiefs tomorrow. He used to sit in this very room. Now you can see him on national TV. He used to do his thing with John Lopez. Nick Wright joined the show earlier today. In case you missed it, here's our sit down with Nick Wright. He used to sit in this room. He's a broadcast legend. I'll say that. When you get something named after
Remix,
you, Syracuse, when you're on national TV, you are a legend. But this week, he is one of Houston's most hated. He is
well, he kind of was in some circles when he was here.
He is a Chiefs fan, and he is a LeBron stan. Nick Wright joins the show right now. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good. You guys played that little chime right after you said he's a LeBron. I didn't hear the next word. Did you say truth teller? because that's like, it didn't seem like there was enough time for those syllables. But hey, it's great to join you guys. My old friend, John, did you say I'm too old at this point to be a son?
I would have bet money you were going to say something. I said when I tweeted, you're a little bit too old to be my son, and obviously too young to be my little brother. I knew you were going to say something about that.
Yeah, I mean, I beg to differ. I always looked at you as my incredibly loving, wonderful father with a drinking problem. So we've got a lot of stuff to do.
All right, I'll go with that. I might have gotten busy my first couple of years in college, yeah, and
exactly
made a mistake,
right,
and all of a sudden here comes Nick Wright. All right, let's talk. I know you can't leave. You can't go 10 minutes without talking about LeBron. But we're going to go 9, all right? We're going to go 9.
No problem.
Let's talk Chiefs, because if you're not going to talk LeBron, Chiefs is it. I don't know anybody. I'm just being honest here to our listeners, but I don't know anybody who really is more plugged in and has better opinions on the Chiefs. And we are trying to find a flaw right now with the Chiefs, with everything they've added on the defensive front. I know their secondary might be pointed at a little bit, but I'm in love with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and haven't even seen him play. You know, where are the Chiefs right now on the pecking order outside of number one?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I think they're the best team in football. I think that the two best teams in football are in the AFC, in the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then maybe the next six might be in the NFC. I know Texans fans want to see them climb up that ladder, and no bigger statement could be made than if you guys win tomorrow night. And the biggest weakness on the team, without question, is cornerback play. They've invested a lot of money on pass rush in Frank Clark and Chris Jones. They obviously invested a lot of money in Tyrann Mathieu, taking him away from the Texans, but they don't have solid corners, and they've got a corner dealing with a suspension. So I would expect DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, man, never mind. I'm sorry. I guess I would expect Brandon Cooks to potentially have his way. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you guys can keep Deshaun upright, the Chiefs' corners are an absolute weak point. I mean, I know obviously the playoff game is just goes down in Houston sports infamy, but you guys still did hang 31 on the Chiefs. It was more than any other team did in the Super Bowl run. It was just it was kind of whose defense was going to be less bad, and obviously the Chiefs' defense was less bad.
And
but
by
I
the
think
way,
you guys should be able to score.
And well, by the way, Brandon Cooks has not practiced the last couple of days.
Yeah, he's got a hurt quad.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Oh. At least Will Fuller's always the bastion of health.
Oh, yeah.
Until he
exactly.
runs a nine route.
Yeah. You got jokes. The thing that I think deserves attention, because you just talked about, we're talking to Nick Wright here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. You know, there's no DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, so we don't know what that's going to look like for the Texans. But I think something that we don't talk about enough around here, and I don't think that they talk about enough when it comes to last year's matchups, Chris Jones didn't play in either one of those. That seems like kind of a big deal. Like, yes, the Texans did move the ball on the Chiefs, but how big of a deal is it that now Chris Jones is going to be right there lined up in the trenches for the Chiefs?
Well, I think he is the Chiefs' best defensive player.
There it is.
Frank Clark got the huge contract. Tyrann Mathieu, without question, is the emotional leader and can do a little bit of everything when he's healthy. But I think you saw it. Like, the way Derrick Henry was on a streak, the likes of which only Earl Campbell, Houston legend, had been on. And then Chris Jones played limited snaps in that Titans game, and it stopped that. The Niners had an unstoppable rushing attack all year. Chris Jones plays in that game, and it forces him to put the ball in Jimmy Garoppolo's hands more than they would like. I know Bill O'Brien is going to want to, you know, try work out his new toy in David Johnson, and I know they're going to try to run the ball. I think Chris Jones is just such a this isn't about the Texans. I think he is the second-best guy at his position in the league. And the only reason he's not the best is the guy who is the best at his position in the league is one of the best to ever do it in Aaron Donald. I just think for interior D linemen, he's almost as good as it gets in the business. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to quite give him the J.J. Watt treatment, J.J. Watt pre-injuries, but you better be dedicating two guys to him or it's going to be a long day for Deshaun.
Well, and everything, it was this way when you were here doing the show with me. It always comes back to Bill O'Brien, and it's that way again right now. I mean, back then you were proud of 32,000 Twitter followers, and now you have 359,000. And you know I was going to mention your Twitter followers because nothing pleases you more than Twitter followers. And so I'm proud of your 359.
Thank you.
But it still comes back down to Bill O'Brien, and I know you have some very, very important thoughts on him and the future of this club.
Well, my only thing is this. I you know, I talk with, our former colleague Mike Meltzer a lot, and he thinks I'm too hard on Bill O'Brien, the in-game coach. But it is kind of hard to separate the one person from all the different hats he wears. And my general feeling is the jobs he has, which is de facto offensive coordinator, head coach of an NFL team and GM of an NFL team, are 70 to 80 hour a week jobs in and of themselves.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know who thinks they have the wherewithal to do all of those things. I guess because Bill Belichick does. He's like the de facto defensive coordinator, head coach, and GM. But he might be the greatest in the history of his field. And so I do think there is immense pressure on Bill O'Brien, not only because he was the coach of a team that was up 24 points in a playoff game in the first half and then somehow trailed at halftime. Didn't just lose. Blew the lead before halftime. But also the coach who orchestrated what I would argue is the most controversial trade of the offseason. And it's not just, and I know some folks say, look at the contract DeAndre just got. That's why you traded him.
Yeah.
I would disagree with that, but still, because it's really, DeAndre's now on a 5-year, $95 million deal. It's totally reasonable. But even if that's true, in a world where Stephon Diggs gets you a first round pick, how does DeAndre Hopkins not? And so I can't, where Jamal Adams fetches what he fetches. So I think Bill O'Brien has rightly or wrongly, put a ton of national pressure on him. I think when I was in Houston, John, there were a lot of, you know, Houstonians who were like, man, into the half, he seems to have some issues, challenges, he seems to be emotional. But I don't think he was like a national, you know, the go-to name for a general manager or coaching malfeasance.
Yeah.
He has made himself that. And so, listen, maybe the trade will work out, but it was trading away your second best player when you are, I believe, in a weak conference aside from the top two teams and have a superstar quarterback. It's just such an odd move, in my opinion.
Nick, does Mike Meltzer, because I talk to Mike Meltzer daily, does he text you just like one word where you're supposed to figure out what he's talking about? Like, he'll just say Chiefs, and then you're just supposed to figure out what he's talking about? I feel like that's a daily thing with me.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically he's like opening up the phone lines, except it's just to you on the text line. And so, yeah, I mean, that is – but I've also, you know, I've known Mike for almost 15 years. We went to college together, and so I am very fluent in Meltzerese.
There you go.
Nick, I want to teach you something, and I know you didn't come here to learn anything, but I just want you –
Oh, no, please.
I learned something yesterday from Bill O'Brien. You just talked about Bill O'Brien, and we're very skeptical of Bill O'Brien being the guy along for the ride with Deshaun Watson, but yesterday he said something, and I thought it was just one of the brightest things that I've ever heard. I did not know this about the National Football League, but – Bill O'Brien taught us a little lesson, and I think you're about to be smarter than you were before about 8 minutes ago. Here's Bill O'Brien's lesson yesterday.
I mean, you know, look, I think at the end of the day, it's still a league about winning, right? It's all about winning.
There you go. All right. It's about winning. Oh, the league is
unfair.
About winning.
That's unfair. That's mean. Yeah, let me say one nice thing. Let me say one nice thing about Bill O'Brien. On stuff far more important than football, I think the way he made it very clear he is standing or, if need be, kneeling with his players this year is the type of thing that engenders immense support in the locker room and takes courage anywhere, but it especially takes courage in Texas. And so I do like
you
I,
are
I
correct.
Do actually I really do respect him in that regard, and I feel badly for always banging on him. But so like as a man and a father and all these things, he really seems like a total stand-up guy, unless you're Brian T. Smith. I don't think he likes him.
That's true.
He is. He is a good guy. He is a good guy.
And I just think some of his decisions have not held up to the test of time.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Are the Rockets done? Is LeBron just on a crash course?
Here's your LeBron moment.
Finals?
Well, listen, here's the thing. I said before the playoffs, the winner of Rockets-Lakers is going to win the title. This is the only series I thought the Lakers were going to face a game seven. I thought every other series they'd finish in six or fewer. However, Houston really needed one of these last two games.
Mm-hmm.
You got to win the game where you hit 22 threes, and they didn't because Russ, you know what I mean, he had a terrible game.
And the game where Russ played well.
Well, and then that's what I was going to say. And then last night, Russ has – this is an unbelievable number for you. Since Durant left OKC, going into last night, Russ had one playoff game where he was above 50% from the field. So, like, he was never efficient in the playoffs, and then he was last night. He was good last night. Houston hit 40% of their threes, and LeBron, you know, takes care of the first half, and then you get beat by Rondo in the fourth quarter. I feel like poor Daryl Morey has been paying off the basketball gods for the Josh Smith six threes game for the last 5 years. It's like, oh, you're going to beat the Clippers when Josh Smith and Gerald Green go crazy? Well, we're going to make you pay that bill multiple times. So that's a long way of saying I do think the Rockets should be up 2-1, and if they were – the series looks very different as it is now. Can you beat LeBron 3 out of 4? The only teams that have done that have had four or more Hall of Famers on their team, and I don't see that. And I think that is there news on Covington?
Apparently, D'Antoni said he is going to play, not a concussion.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, that's huge because you can't have Austin Rivers be even a supporting actor in this movie. So you need Robert Covington.
Nick, we appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Good stuff, my man.
Of course. I miss you guys. Johnny, you know how much I love you. I'm so happy for you guys. I will talk to you guys soon.
That's Nick Wright here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Chiefs fan, LeBron stan. Not a good combo round here.
Good J-Lo, for him lately.
January 12th, 2020. Texans lose to the Kansas City Chiefs after having a 24-0 lead. They would have hosted the old Oilers, the Titans, at NRG. January 28th, 2020.
Okay.
2 weeks and change after that, Bill O'Brien named official general manager of the Houston Texans. March 16th, Bill O'Brien's first move as the, quote, official GM of the Houston Texans. DeAndre Hopkins traded to the Arizona Cardinals for what Michael Irvin said was a ham sandwich. Then go on to free agency. Brandon Cooks traded for. Randall Cobb signed. Eric Murray signed. You then have COVID hit. The uncertainty, pushback of mini camps, pushback of training camps. We did not think this time would come, but I'll be damned, J-Lo.
Guess what's happening tomorrow, baby?
This will be the final time that we sign off in 2020 where it is not football season. It's finally here, John. Don't know how we made it. There's no one else in the world that I would rather be riding with than you, John Lopez, you, Figgy Fig. And most importantly, all the loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole, J-Lo.
All right, guys. Tomorrow's the day, and man, football season is here. What a wild, crazy ride it's been. Shout out, of course, to you and Figgy, and it means a lot to me.
Love J-Lo. Love the loopholes. Love my man Figgy. Thanks to Nick Wright for hopping on. Thanks to Stanford Routes for hopping on. Thanks to Chris Myers for hopping on. You can listen to that radio.com app rewind, or you can go to sportsradio610.com. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. The world's biggest pregame show continues with Clint and Ron. We'll be back at 10 tomorrow on game day. Clint and Ron are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.